All right. Hello and welcome everybody to this quarter's financial management discussion. We're doing it a little bit different this quarter in that we're recording it. We will be posting this recording out so anybody that was not able to make this call or date and time can actually hear what you all have to say. So again, we are just going to do a main IltaCon takeaway, the sessions, what you guys thought, any specific hits or misses, any specific speakers or content. We just want to hear all about it. With us today, we have Jarmila, and I believe Andrea and Robin are also with us. I think Robin might not be able to make it today because she is international, but they will be just guiding the conversation. Jarmila was the only one from our panel that actually attended IltaCon and was lucky enough to be there, so she will share her input. If you are dialed in by phone, you can mute yourself and unmute yourself with #6 and *6. If you happen to get muted by me, it's only because you have some background noise, and we're going to try and mitigate as much as possible so the conversation is clear and continues. And then if you do want to have any conversation or don't want to interrupt anybody, you can share comments that you have through the chat feature. So you can put questions there and we can address them, or you could just post something to the audience through that chat if you'd like. So I'll hand it over to Jarmila to get us started.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. I'm Jarmila Bentsikova. I'm the Director of Finance at Osler Hoskin & Harcourt in Toronto, and I've actually attended the conference. And as Nicole pointed out, I was the only one from the panel that attended. But I do have two other people with me, Andrea and Robin. So I'll let them introduce themselves, and then we can take it off.
Hi, my name is Andrea Engels. I'm Director of Finance at Goodmans LLP, located in Toronto, and I was sad not to attend ILTA this year, but look to hear what I missed.
So I know we have over 20 people joining us on this call. Is there anyone in the audience who actually attended ILTACON?
I did, Jennifer Sutton.
Okay.
Yes, I did, Felicia Morris.
Okay, great. So let's start with you. What was your biggest takeaway, or what was something that you thought was so valuable, the piece of information?
This is Jennifer. The part that I was most interested in when going there was getting more information about people accepting the Bitcoin and what law firms are doing and the client demand of that at various law firms.
And were you able to find out, not just in the panel discussion, but maybe outside of the panel discussion?
Yeah, I went to, a couple of sessions on that, and it, something that law firms are looking at, and they talked about, the security and the differences in different ways to do it and so forth. So it doesn't seem to be like pressing right now, but it's definitely something to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, I agree. I do remember in the financial management roundtable, we only had one person who actually had some experience, and she had to put things in place and set it up as her firm, but nobody else in the audience had any experience with that. Is
Yeah, I
anybody?
was that person.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And so is there anyone in the audience who has any experience with setting things up with Bitcoins and any other alternative way of paying the bills that can maybe share with the rest of the group? I guess we don't have anybody. Okay. Anything else, Jennifer, that you learn from either the financial roundtable or any other sessions that you attended that you may feel is worthwhile sharing here?
The part probably that is the best for me when going to like ILTACON is we do have various solutions outside of Elite. We're an Elite firm, and seeing the different offerings of the vendors in the vendor hall and just talking with other people, the networking is what is really helpful for me there. The sessions, a lot of them are IT based, so I don't, really get into all the nitty-gritty of all that, and but the applications and vendors is what is really critical for me.
Okay. Have you seen anything interesting that you were surprised?
No, not really. This year I wasn't looking for as many products as I did last year. Last year we walked away with a couple software idea, you know, things to try with our reporting, and we're actually a beta client for one of the vendors. And so it was really helpful last year as we were, moving to transitioning to 3E is what our plan is. And so we're trying to see what parts of our system we can, convert prior to the transition to 3E. And so that's what we were looking at last year, which was really huge for me. And then this year we already had those decisions. We're implementing software based on that.
Okay, great.
This is Felicia Morris with Baker Donald.
Oh, was there anything that you found interesting that you want to share?
I guess not really in particular. I'm in legal project management, so I'm not sure if I'm fit on this call or not, but I was mainly interested in kind of the business of law type stuff, and I had a little trouble finding sessions to fit that. I think, like she said, a lot of it was, technology based. So I did attend some AI stuff, and I was able to attend some workshops that were helpful.
Okay, great. Well, I can speak from my experience. So from the financial roundtable, there were multiple discussions. We had several topics that we picked, one of them being a financial system and, upgrading, moving to a different financial system. And so there was a lot of discussion about what's available, what the support of within these systems are, whether it's Adirond, obviously, or Thomson Elite being the enterprise, or 3E. And then there were some smaller firms that actually implemented Reapy and Kingston. And so they talked about their experience being a positive experience. And there seemed to be a lot of discussion around the financial systems, and we've seen that in the past few quarters of this discussions that we've had, that there's a lot of firms either upgrading or moving from one system to another, and there is a huge need for external consultants needed to help out with that move or upgrade. And so one of the sessions I went to that I thought was pretty helpful was a session that was called Transitioning, Upgrading, and Implementing a Financial System. It was on Wednesday afternoon, and I'm pretty sure it was recorded. So if you are in the position of upgrading or moving systems or going through a system selection process, you may find that session helpful. It was presented by AAC Consultants, Beth O'Connor, who has this consulting company that helps with the selection process and the implementation. And she had other people on the panel that actually went through that process and kind of described what that process looked like, how beneficial it was for their firm to have an external consultant helping them. And so if you are in that position, you may find it helpful. My firm is not moving financial systems, but we are going to be upgrading. We are on Adirond. We're going to be upgrading. So even just listening to the panel about the implementation, it kind of gave me additional ideas as to what to do on the upgrade side and how to maybe set up the upgrade team together and some of the skill sets that may be needed. So that was kind of a nice takeaway for me. We also talked about collections, and we talked about, how many collectors do you have per billing attorneys, and things pretty varied when we talked about how many staff collectors you have. We also talked about different or creative ways of collecting from clients. I think we all agreed it's a struggle getting payments in some cases. And I actually like one person who said that he has two collectors, and one is a regular collector, and the other one acts as the third-party collection. And he said that they set it up in a way that the third-party collector is with a different phone number and different email address, so it really looks like a third-party collection. And he talked about how successful that's been, where they cannot collect on the regular side. They just give it to the guy that sits on the next, at the next desk, and he's able to act as a third-party collection. And they've been pretty successful in collecting some of very, very old accounts. So I would just open it up, because I know collection is very much in on everybody's mind when it comes to financial discussions. Does anybody have any creative ways of collecting client accounts available that would be willing to share? Or even if you want to talk about the staffing and how many collectors you have per billing attorney, or anything that you want to share.
Hi, this is Doug Miller.
Oh, hi, Doug.
Hi. I've always heard the ratio of one full-time collector to 100 attorneys. So that's always been kind of where the number, and actually have found that to be fairly a fairly good number. And that's not that person doing billing. That's 100% collections.
And that would be 100 billing attorneys? Like the attorneys?
No, 100 heads. 100 heads. You know.
Okay.
So if you had, you know, 100 partners, 100 associates, you'd have two collectors.
Okay.
That's all. That's my.
Okay. Anybody else has any stats or anything willing to share? Okay. We don't have anybody. The other topic that we talked about was integration between HR and payroll system and the financial system. And we talked about how that works. And there were some firms that just went through an HRIS system that they implemented. And I do remember somebody mentioning a software called Workday. And they actually talked about how it changed their process in setting up timekeepers. Traditionally, they set up timekeepers in the financial system. And with bringing in the HR system, they basically just set up the person in the HR system, and then it flows into the financial system, and it sets up the timekeeper after, not like before that it was first set up in the financial system and then it moved into the HR. We also talked about the integration, obviously, HR systems and payroll pay people, so a lot of the financial data flows into the financial system. And so it would be interesting to hear maybe your experience. Has anybody gone through an HR system implementation recently, and how does it work with the financial system like Aderant or Elite, any other system that you have? Anybody has any experience or would like to share? Okay, I guess we don't have anybody willing to share. So those were kind of the topics that we discussed during the financial roundtable at ILTA, unless I missed something. Jennifer, do you remember anything else that we talked about?
In our own roundtable meeting?
Yeah.
We talked about relationship between HR and IT and accounting.
Correct, yes. Yes, so how they work together or not working together. I think it was an issue at every firm that having those three units working together and not stepping over each other, I think was an issue. We wished all that we would work better together. I don't remember any other topics that we had during that discussion, but that doesn't mean we cannot come up with a topic now that people would want to talk about.
Hi, this is Jamela, it's Andrea. Just sorry to go back a topic. I was having trouble with my muting and unmuting. HR and payroll is an area that we've been looking at to try and improve the efficiencies of onboarding. And we did look at Workday. It looks like it's a pretty good product. I'm curious to know if people are maintaining their segregation of duties between HR and payroll. I'm a big fan of that segregation of duties.
but I understand talking to some people that they have their HR people processing payroll and that payroll reports through to HR rather than finance. Here at Goodman's, payroll reports in finance, and we have an import function from the HRIS system to payroll in order to facilitate paying of employees. So I would be curious to know where payroll reports to in general, like on the for the people on the call.
This is Kim Free. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm at Galvin, White & Boyd, and here payroll is part of accounting. Our HR department keeps pushing to have payroll shifted to them, but I'm a former auditor. I like that separation, and because they are paying a lot of attention to it, I feel like we have two sets of eyes on every payroll to make sure that we get it right. So I like the separation too. I'm with you.
This is Charmilla. I can share what we do at Osler. So we have payroll part of our HR team, but and we don't have a formal HRIS system. We use spreadsheets and all kinds of other tools, but we are hopefully going to be implementing the proper HRIS system in the next year or so. But the way we structure the HR department, there's the employment group and there is the payroll group. And so when someone is set up in our system as a new hire, it's the employment group that sets that up, and they don't have access to process payroll. And then once the person is set up, then the payroll group is the one that actually processes the payroll. And then we pay employees twice a month, and then we get an extract from the payroll system that we then turn into journal entries when it comes to the accounting group. And then the journal entry then gets posted into Adirond, our financial system. And then the accounting team also does the reconciliation of the payroll clearing account, which is where we, you know, account that it kind of flows through to make sure that it all reconciles. And we review the salary expenses to make sure that they're in line with the budgeted amount or the prior month. So it resides in our HR department, but we keep that segregation of duty somewhat.
Thank you.
What kind of HRIS systems people have at their firms? I know Workday is one of the softwares that I hear people have. Is there any other HRIS system?
We looked at two. One is ADP's HRIS system. And mm-hmm. one was Ceridian's, and I can't remember whether ADP was Workday or Ceridian was Workday. But I think those were the two big ones, and there's Gigantic PeopleSoft.
Yes.
Those are the big ones that I'm aware of.
So for people in the audience, can anyone share what your firm is using as HRIS system?
This is Jennifer Warden-Smith. We use Epicor.
Epicor?
Epicor, E-P-I-C-O-R.
Okay, and how does that work for you?
I think it works pretty good. I'm not in the middle of that because, you know, HR handles that function, but they can send out notices and we can update our, you know, personal information, and that gets fed into ADP. And like if they have to send out a form that everybody in the firm is required to sign if a new tax law changes, updates to W, for whatever, they can put it out there. We have to go in there and we can update it and upload it right there. So that's pretty handy. We can change benefit elections through Epicor, you know, just different functions like that.
But you still use ADP as your payroll?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yep.
And I just looked up, this is Andrea Gaines. So Workshare is ADP's HRIS system, and Ceridian's is called Dayforce.
Okay.
And we use a small Canadian off-the-shelf kind of software for our HRIS right now.
Anybody else in the audience would like to share what they use for their HRIS system? Okay, we don't have anybody willing to share. Okay. Is there any other topic that you would like to discuss? Because I think we kind of looked at what was discussed at ILTA during the finance roundtable. Is there anything else that you would want to bring up?
I was trying to hit my mute, and I kept muting it and unmuting it. Does anybody on that uses Elite use the, let me just as soon as I said it, related client field?
This is Andrea speaking from Goodman's. Yes, indeed, we use the related client field.
Okay. And like what kind of reporting do you do off of that?
We do client group realization reporting. We do billing reports. We do WIP reports, receivables. And we do an investment report that combines, an aged investment report that combines WIP below 60 days, WIP above 60 days, AR below 60 days, AR above 60 days to calculate our total investment. And we summarize that over a certain threshold to review with management weekly. And that's summarized at the client group. So it can shows does a good job of showing exposure for large corporate entities that have multiple clients.
Yeah, we use like the joint bill ID to group some of our matters within the same client. We can group other clients as well under that. But we're trying to figure out if we could go forward using that and how to go forward using that. I definitely, especially since we're about to convert to 3E, I definitely want to do it going into 3E because I definitely see the benefit for all the reasons that you just stated. But we're trying to figure out how we would be able to, like all the existing clients, how do you choose which one is the main client that you choose as the related client? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And I guess sometimes it's the parent company. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We would use the parent company if the parent company is where it makes sense. But in the absence of a parent company, I think we would default to the largest client within that client group.
And when you're setting up like new clients for that are related, does the person at intake already know that, or how do they know which one is the related client that they're to tie it to?
Well, this might, maybe we want to talk a little offline because we have a different, our related client is a unique client within the system. So it's not
okay.
And there are no matters associated directly with the related client. The related
mm-hmm.
client only has clients associated with it. Does that help?
Yeah. I was just trying to figure out at intake.
Yeah, similar to what she was saying. We, this is a complex problem that's somewhat idiosyncratic to your firm, because what we did is we took which was usually the oldest client, and used their number. So like PNC Bank. You may have clients in five cities. With different attorneys with the relationship, but all one needs to roll up under PNC. Well, we took the oldest PNC client and used that one as the related client field throughout. But it really has to do with how you report and how you view it and things of that nature. So it's that, so you can do it either way. It's kind of like multi-payer, a multi-payer, a client number may have no value other than it's just one of the used on one of the clients. It all depends on how your firm looks at things.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question for everybody. I haven't been to a lot of ILTAs in the last 5 years, and it seems like we used to, maybe 10 plus years ago, had many more sessions. Maybe they were more basic, and that's the problem. Like Jarmila and I did a session on fraud in law firms and things of that nature. And it just seemed like this time there were very few finance related, unless, you know, it was Bitcoin or some of these others. And so I just wondered if people felt that they got their finance fix out of ILTA. You know, there's a whole bunch of, you know, obviously, you know, a ton of IT stuff you can go to, but wondering how people, I felt a little lagging. Maybe it was the, you know, being a finance person, you know, going to a more of a tech conference. Just curious what people's opinions were with that.
It's Jarmila. I can certainly speak to that. I found this year was probably the fewest number of finance-related sessions that I remember over the last 20 years. And we also used to have, like, the finance group the Sunday afternoon. What was it called? Nicole, you can probably remember the Sunday afternoon get-together.
Well, were they peer group things?
I can't remember what they were called. It was basically a finance people getting together for an hour to talk. And I found that very helpful that you actually met the finance people on Sunday afternoon. And then you can kind of look for them throughout the week and compare notes. Whereas our session, the finance roundtable, was on Wednesday. So some of the finance people, I didn't meet them until Wednesday. And that only gives you the rest of Wednesday and Thursday, trying to catch them and maybe have additional conversations.
I think those were the communities of interest.
Yes, communities of interest. Thank you.
No problem.
So those, I found them valuable. And I don't know if what the reason was for removing them, but that's probably a question for somebody other than this panel. But I think putting more, I mean, finance touches a lot of things. So does IT. And I find that I work so closely with IT, and then IT works very closely with finance, whether it's throughout the year monitoring expenses or during the budget time. We work very closely together. So it does make sense to have more finance sessions at ILTACON, and both targeted for finance people and targeted for non-finance people. I know there was one session that I didn't go to, and that was finance for non-finance people. I don't know how that session went because I did not attend it, but I certainly plan to listen to the recording just to see what the content was. Anybody else who was at the conference feel the need for having more finance sessions, or maybe you thought it was enough?
This is Jennifer. I really didn't see hardly any finance sessions either. I was rather disappointed by that, because it was fewer than even the year before. And even based on my experience this year at ILTA, I'm probably not going back next year. So I'll find a different, I mean, I always go to the elite conference, but, you know, I may try a different conference out instead of ILTA, just to see if there's something that I can get more out of.
And one thing is about maybe, to your point, is maybe having the roundtable on Monday afternoon. I seem to recall we used to have two roundtables, one on Monday and one on Thursday. Actually, I think the Thursday one was late in the afternoon.
Yes,
there was one on Tuesday and Thursday or something along those lines. And I would maybe one on Monday afternoon and then Thursday morning or something. Personally, I like to go to the Sharon Swartworth session, but actually I got stuck. I was off campus and got stuck in a bomb scare at Arlington National Cemetery and couldn't make either. Maybe that's something where, you know, having that roundtable earlier in the week, we can see each other. And that's because that was the whole thing about, I always tell people, you know, it's the whole thing with ILTA is making the connections of either people that you've, you know, met via the forums or the communities and things of that nature, putting a name to a face or putting a name to an email or face to an email.
Yeah, I do remember we used to have Monday roundtable and Thursday roundtable, and the Monday roundtable was more to get to know each other, and then on Thursday we would then regroup and share what we've learned throughout the week. And I found that Thursday session being very valuable, because not everybody goes to the same session, not everybody talks to the same vendor, and sharing on Thursday was very, very valuable.
Anybody else have a comment about that?
No, I just would share the same. I share the same comments. That Sunday night or afternoon session where it was the community groups was really important, because as you said, then you could pick them out, because the finance people do tend to be a much smaller group, and being able to find them in the rest of the larger groups was meaningful to me for sure. And I also remember the older conferences where it was the two round tables, and having that recap on Thursday was helpful. And I find there was a time when I went to the conference sort of every other year. I went last year for the first time in a long time. And then when I looked at the session layouts for this year, I was having trouble coming up with a really good reason to be there, as opposed to one of the other conferences that might be available.
Well, great to hear all the comments. And since I'm on the financial management content coordinating team, I will certainly summarize this feedback to the content coordinating team and to the conference committee as well. And we'll see if we can maybe bring some of those sessions back. We still have about 20 minutes. So what I would like to find out from you is, as we do this every quarter, is there any specific topic that you would want us to bring to you in the Q4 roundtable? Anything that you want to discuss next time? Or any idea how we can have the audience participating, having more lively discussion, so that it's not just the panelists talking, that everybody kind of feels that they have contributed to the discussion and that we all share people's ideas or experiences?
You know, maybe send out an agenda ahead of time. I know some of these have been very lively, where we were trying to get people off because the hour was so. And Jarmila, thank you for doing this. I know it's a big chunk out of your day, but yeah, I know that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I think when we put out the agenda, it drives the participation. Like, we get different people participating in these quarterly discussions when the agenda is presented. We experimented. We had one session where we did not put out agenda. We just said, bring your topic. And that did not work that well because people just dialed in and waited for someone to bring something up. And that didn't work really well. We've never done this IltaCon recap. So this is, again, something new that we are doing. I wish we had more people in the audience that would be sharing what they've learned at IltaCon, but I kind of understand why most of the people joining this discussion want to learn what was discussed at IltaCon, because we don't record the financial management roundtable at IltaCon, so that people can actually share more and not being put on spot and getting back to their firms if they said something they should not have said. Any other ideas that you want to share? It's certainly more than welcome. Or if anybody wants to join our panel for the future, we certainly would not mind that at all. If that's the case, you can email me, you can email Nicole, and we'll include you in our next quarterly discussion. I think Nicole just put the evaluation on the screen. So unless people have any other topic, I think we can wrap up the session. Is there any other topic you want to talk about? No? Then I would ask if people would complete the evaluation, and I'd like to thank everyone who participated. Hopefully you found this useful, and hopefully we'll see you at the next financial roundtable in Q4. So we will probably send out the invite sometime in November. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jarmila. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.